perceived. And I'm concerned at times that the Holy Ghost is looked at as just a thrill, a means to jump up and down and have excited worship and so on. And certainly it's all of that and more. But when you get to the scripture, the purpose is witness, right? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Amen. Now, in Acts chapter 2, they behaved in a drunken manner, so we understand there is an ecstasy. There's just an overwhelming presence of God. They spoke in tongues. They spoke of the wonderful works of God. We know all of those aspects are part of the move of the Spirit of God. But bottom line, witness. Amen. And thank God we can expect that. We can expect the power of God to embolden us, to enable us, and to do a work of the Lord. And thank God for the power of God that would come forth. Now, the work of the Spirit is seen in Acts 16. And the power to witness, however, was channeled. And it was timely. And it may surprise us to read words like verse 6, forbidden of the Holy Ghost. And verse 7, the Spirit suffered them not. The Holy Ghost said no. The Spirit of God said don't do it. And it had to do with missionary work, with witness. So, we conclude right at the outset here that there's timing and there's place that God would direct. Amen. And that's not letting you off the hook, so to speak. That's not excluding your witness and your testimony. That's simply following the lead of the Spirit. Amen. And thank God His power is able to direct us and lead. Because you drop down to verse 10 in your lesson text, and the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel. Amen. And so, thank God for the power of the Lord. The Culture Connection makes mention of the Godares, who went on a mission to start a church in North Carolina. And to their amazement, as they were knocking doors and inviting people to their services, a lady exclaimed, "You're the one I dreamed about. You're the one that I saw in a dream who was coming to start a church." And obviously that was very encouraging to them, to help them to recognize indeed the call of God was upon them and they were walking in the will of the Lord. Amen. I heard something similar again as we were in Spokane. One of the ladies who had come to church, a small Filipino lady, Lorda, I think her name is, had been in an accident in Seattle before she moved to Spokane, had been in a terrible accident. And someone had been able to remove her from the vehicle and place her on the side of the road, you know, out of danger, out of traffic, and so on. And then nobody was there to help her. Nobody, there wasn't anybody that stopped by. The first responders were on their way and all of that sort of thing. So she concluded it was the hand of the Lord. Then when she went to church and she saw Sister Melinda, her mouth dropped open, her eyes got big, and she said, "You're the one that helped me. You're the one that moved me out of the vehicle." And so she calls Sister Melinda her angel. Praise God. So the Lord does works like that. It's just incredible that God would be able to demonstrate His power in that way. And then the a story goes on to tell about the Godares having someone raised from the dead in their service. Amen. And I remember him telling about that in a message, in that these people started coming to their service, started receiving from the Lord, and others were warning them. Others were saying, don't go. There's false doctrine, you know, and opposition like that. And then for him to drop dead in the service was very upsetting. But Brother Godare remembered calling on God with confidence, and that the Lord was going to do a work here that would exalt his name. And sure enough, praise God, after 20 minutes or so, the man was resurrected. So God confirmed his word with signs following. The Lord will do that. He'll do that for you. Amen. That's why he's empowered you to teach his word, to preach his word. Praise God. You know, in the Psalms, we read many of the prayers of David and others, and we can identify sometimes with what they're feeling, what they're going through, and then the highs of the praise and the exalting of the Lord, and then the almost woe is me type emotions and expressions that you find in the Psalms. But this lesson points out 175 references in the 150 Psalms, 175 of them referring to the nations of the world. As though to help us understand, yes, the Hebrews were God's chosen people. Yes, Israel is God's chosen nation. But the world is all that the Lord would desire to reach. And we know the teachings of Jesus in saying the field is the world. You go forth and sow, and it's the whole world. And thank God, that task would seem impossible. It would seem insurmountable. How can we do it? But I'm thankful for the motto or the saying that the United Pentecostal Church International has: the whole gospel to the whole world by the whole church. Amen. Not just a select few. Not just those who have been identified as missionaries, but the whole church being able to take forth the message that needs to enlighten the world. Thank God for the day of Pentecost. Yes, amen. 120 to me seems like a big number. When you preach to, you know, a handful and then envision 120, That's a good number. I suppose by the population of Jerusalem at that time on the day of Pentecost, it may seem pretty small. But that was quite a crowd to get into an upper room. And one historical fiction writer that I read said it was an area for drying figs. It was a big open area that they... figs and grapes and so on, you know, the drying that took place there. That's how they were able to get into that storage area and have a time of waiting on the Lord. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. And at that time, and again, here's the timing. The timing is particular here because there was gathered in Jerusalem believers out of every nation, and they when this experience was noised abroad, you know, everybody began to hear about it. Everybody began to talk about it. And evidently, it's something that went on for a while, because people began to gather, and they said, "We hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They're Galileans. How do we hear them speaking in our language?" Thank God that the power of the Lord was displayed. And then, of course, we know the powerful message of Peter and how he declared the promises to you and to your children and to all that are afar off. What's humorous here is that Peter didn't even believe his own message. The Lord had to really work with him to get him to go to Cornelius, who was a Gentile. Because up to that point, it had been Hebrews or those who had Hebrew heritage. And 10 years later, that's a pretty good span of time. They went to Cornelius' house, and a Roman centurion filled with the Holy Ghost. Boy, you talk about breaking a barrier, going beyond the boundaries of their thinking and what they felt was the right thing to do. But now, finally, all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, and the Lord showed Peter how the angel appeared, and he was up on the rooftop at about the same time, and the Lord working over him with that vision of nothing shall be called common or unclean, and that whole aspect there of the message being brought to those who are not Hebrews, and them being included as well. Praise God. So now, they are wanting to go and preach. People needed to hear. Peter and John and the other apostles being used of the Lord in a mighty way. Saul of Tarsus being converted. And what an incredible conversion. Somebody who served the Lord in Hebrew law zealously, very strong, very committed, turned that same energy, that same zeal to serving Jesus and preaching the born-again message, the death, burial, and the resurrection. Praise God. And so the Lord selecting them, the Lord directing them, and the Lord calling them to do a work. In Acts 13, the church in Antioch sending Barnabas and Paul on what we call the first missionary journey, and Paul recognizing this promise for Abraham, it truly is all nations. And so he was determined to go. So they're looking at the journey. They're looking at the direction to go. And at first they thought they were going to go into an area that we recognize as Turkey, Bithynia. And they thought that has great possibilities. It's a beautiful area. It's a prosperous area. It's a Roman province that is doing well, and that would be a good place to start. We can get a real good base here and reach out to the surrounding area. You know how we figure things out in our minds, how we think that this would be good, and it's good to use the common sense that God blessed you with. For some people, sometimes you think it's uncommon because they use it so infrequently, but anyway. It's something that they recognize. But here's where we saw the Spirit say no. And instead, he directed them to Macedonia. Now, the contrast is amazing. Because instead of being prosperous, instead of being beautiful, instead of being logical in terms of their thinking, this would be a good base, this would be a good place to start, Macedonia was impoverished. Macedonia didn't have a whole lot going for it in terms of natural sense, an impoverished Roman province. And yet this is where the Lord directed them to go. So they had, and Paul at this point, had learned the yes and no of the Spirit. And he was determined he was going to follow the direction of God, and know the outcomes that God wanted to give, that would be beyond what he could see in the natural eye, and his natural inclinations, and his thinking. He recognized, okay, this is what we're going to do. There's a story about the young couple who felt a call on their lives for missions. And when they got out of Bible school, they lived a lifestyle that was very undemanding. They didn't go in debt for furniture. They didn't. They watched their finances very carefully because they knew they're not going to be staying here. God had called them, and they were preparing themselves to be ready to go. And Europe was the place of their calling. Well, the missions board gave them an opportunity to go to Jamaica. Well, the young man had a roommate who had gone to Jamaica and came back with the report. You know, you would think the report would have been sunshine and beautiful warm beaches and tropical lands and warm temperatures all year round. But he came back with a report about things that were negative. You know, 2 or 3 inch bugs that were everywhere, in your shoes, in the cupboards, and the poverty and those kinds of things. So the negative report, just like the 10 spies that went into the promised land and the 2 spies who were outvoiced, outspoken, this young couple did not want to go to Jamaica. But the Lord kept dealing with them. The Lord kept directing them. And so finally they agreed to go. And it was a short-term commitment. But when they got there, they recognized what the Lord was trying to teach them. They understood the no as far as them going to Europe and the yes as far as them going to Jamaica. And then what they learned, what they gained, what they experienced helped them tremendously when they eventually made it to the land that they felt that they were called to. Praise God. I'm thankful that the Lord can order our steps. Amen. And order, those of you in the military or military background, you know that some of those orders didn't make sense. Some of those orders you wondered about. You know, how stupid can they get with these orders? The Lord doesn't order that way, but he does tell you what to do. And that order can also mean the way the Lord lines things up, the way the Lord organizes to where it's going to be beneficial to you and to provide the help that you will need in the future. You may not understand. You may not grasp the order that God is trying to put in your life. And it may seem inconvenient. It may seem like it's doesn't really matter. But praise God, the Lord is able to reveal his plan and show things. You know, that conclusion that Solomon makes, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Praise God. And thank the Lord, he's able to do that. Now, as far as Bithynia, you know, where they wanted to go, but the Lord said, no, you go to Macedonia. And then, of course, that vision, come over and help us. The man was pleading in the dream or the vision that Paul had, that direction that they received from the Lord, how beneficial. Bithynia did get reached because in 1 Peter chapter 1, the opening verses of that chapter, he mentions Bithynia. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Praise God. So, somebody went. Somebody reached out. And in the plan of God, that area was reached as well. So, thank the Lord. We can be committed to do the work that he has called us to do, and we praise God for it. Now, so they answer and they go in the direction that they are directed to. In Acts 16, they're in Philippi, and they encounter Lydia. They get into the city. They hear about a prayer meeting down by the river, and they meet Lydia. And Lydia implores them to stay with her, and they have prayer, and things are looking really good. But they meet another woman, a girl. Now listen to what she says as far as Paul and Silas and the direction that they have. Her introduction, her proclamation is this: these men are servants of the Most High God, and they show us the way of salvation. Anything wrong with that? Is it true? Any falsehood? What was wrong then? Why did Paul get upset? The association with the demons that operated in her, in this girl, who could tell fortunes, who could, you know, say what's going to happen by demonic power, was not what Paul wanted to associate with. So he cast the demons out. Praise God. Oh, you talk about the power of God. Amen. I'm thankful we don't have to be fearful. I'm thankful we don't have to be intimidated. I'm thankful we don't have to be, you know, backed into a corner. Paul said this thing was not done in a corner. Praise God. But the power of the Lord that came forth. So, it made those guys mad that used her to make money for them in her power to tell fortunes and so on. And they had a big riot, and Paul and Silas were arrested and were beaten with rods. Now, very easy, an opportunity to go completely down and complain and get mad at God and just lose victory, lose the Holy Ghost, and fall completely away because they had been mistreated. And here they are trying to preach the gospel. And they set this woman free. And they should have been rejoicing. They should have been excited. But instead they get beaten with rods. And their feet are made fast in the stocks. And very uncomfortable. Very inconvenient. And a hardship. But at midnight, they began praising God. Praise God. Now look, they've encountered two individuals, Lydia, who was powerful in prayer, and no doubt they shared with her the truth about baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And then this young girl who was used in fortune telling, they delivered her from demonic possession. And I wonder what happened to her afterwards. You know, I can imagine in my mind's eye, her owners just kicking her out, just getting rid of her because she's of no use to them anymore. And so she wanders the city and wonders what she's going to do. And Lydia finds out about it and welcomes her into her home, just like she did the apostles. Praise God. I'm so thankful we can help each other and be encouraging to each other and be in prayer for one another. Praise God. And the blessing of the Lord come forth in that manner. So now they're in jail, and they're singing praises to the Lord at midnight, and they're praying and calling upon God. I'm sure they had to fight through discouragement. I'm sure they had to kind of move themselves around a little bit, trying to find a comfortable position, but they began praising and worshiping the Lord, and earthquake. Did you feel the earthquake the other day? I'm sure you did. Pretty hard to miss. But, the power of God that shook that place. The doors sprung open. And how the jailer called for a light. The lights went out, apparently. The torches and candles and lanterns and so on extinguished in all of the shaking. He called for a light. And Paul crying out, do thyself no harm, we're all here. You know, it's a word of knowledge. Because in the dark, how could he tell that the jailer was about to end his life? But a word of knowledge, the Spirit of God operating in Paul's life. And then he called for that light, and he came into where Paul and Silas were. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Had a church service right there in that dust and crumbling jail. And then he took them and was baptized. Praise God. I'm thankful that it began to unfold as far as the purpose of God and the direction of the Lord and the hand of God that was upon them. That's the power that God has given to witness. Notice the outcome of each situation was a witness. Amen. And then I like the way Paul stood on his rights. I'm a Roman citizen. And he used that. And the magistrate, when he found out that they had beaten Romans, oh boy, he was shook up. He was fearful. And Paul made him come, you know, basically with an apology, and then escort him out. Not just let them, you know, kind of sneak out of the city and avoid the embarrassment of an investigation and the Roman government getting involved here and saying, hey, why did you beat some Roman citizens here? You know, there's due process and so on. They didn't do that for everybody, but Paul used that authority. And that speaks to us as Americans today. You have rights. You know, there are those who scream about rights that are perverted and rights that would end lives and all of that stuff that we know that's going on in our society. Time for the church to stand up. Amen. And be able to make your vote count, make your voice count, and certainly share your witness. Praise God. That's what the Lord would direct you to do. So God's power shown in an amazing way here as the Great Commission being fulfilled. The Great Commission, go ye into all the world. And that was something that they recognized and something that they acted on, because everyone needs to hear the gospel. Everyone, no one left out. As we see in the fulfillment of what the apostles did, they recognized it and they fulfilled it. Praise God. And thank God the gospel is good news. Not something that is going to be a weight or a burden or a hardship. Not something that's going to drag people down into discouragement and despair. No, it's good news. No wonder every creature means every person. And regardless of geography, regardless of culture, regardless of even religion, amen, they need to hear and they need to receive, and thank God they can be changed by the power of the Lord. And the demonstration of the Lord and his power in those instances were something that they knew God would verify his word and continue. Praise God. And so then Paul and Silas didn't decide things were over. No, they kept on. They kept on going. And Acts 17 tells about how he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus that they preached was Christ. Praise God. So the death, burial, and the resurrection was the simple truth of the gospel that they held to. Now, this was the crucifixion of the Lord was something that was known in Jerusalem. And no doubt because of the power of God that was poured out on the day of Pentecost and the accusation that came later to the apostles, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. It was well known. The resurrection of the Lord was something that was talked about from group to group and so on. And so when the Apostle Paul preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection, they were able to grasp that this is true. We've heard about this. And then to have it applied to their lives in a message of salvation. And thank God, again, that's bottom line, the message of salvation. They would repent of their sins. That's the death. They would be buried in baptism. Praise God. There's the burial, the parallel that would be established there. And then rising and newness of life, the power of the resurrection. And it's more, we know it's more than just trying to be good. We know it's more than just trying to enact New Year's resolutions and that sort of thing. It's the power of the Lord to live a changed life. Praise God. And thank the Lord that that's what he continued to do and what we see as a continuation of what the Lord is doing. The only message that would come forth in that hour is what we hold to today. And thank God that that power is still taking place. There are people still getting baptized after they've repented. They're still receiving the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And thank the Lord. It's not something that's outdated. It's not something that needs to be improved upon. Not something that needs to be made new. It's people who can be made new by this powerful message. Praise God. And then I like the fact that there are results. Acts 17 and 4, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. Of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Praise God. There were results. There were people who responded. There were people who held on to the message that they heard from Paul and Silas. Praise God. These devout Greeks and these important women, prominent women in the community were being able to respond. I'm thankful that the Word of God lets us know in Galatians chapter 3, as many as you've been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And it's whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you be bond or free, whether you're male or female. Praise God. Half the population is not left out now. Everybody's included. Praise God. And so these chief women being involved as well is just a tremendous blessing that they would receive and then be a blessing as well. Amen. And verse 5, Acts 17. There are some who believe not, and certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. That's quite a description. And unfortunately, there's more and more of them in our world. More and more that would follow that direction and have opposition to truth and opposition to the Word of God. But thank the Lord. In verse 11, they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily. Praise God. They had a heart for the Word of the Lord. And keep in mind now, this is a time when they didn't have Bibles. The Word of God was being written, and Paul's letters were being circulated. And so for them to search the Scriptures daily meant that they were in the synagogue, they were around where the scrolls were kept, and they heard preaching from the apostles, and they went and made sure it was there in the Word of God. I'm thankful we can do that today and make sure it's in the Word of God, to make sure it's part of the Scripture. Praise God. And again, verse 12 makes mention of many of them that believed, honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. Again, the emphasis on both received. Both were involved. Both were receptive. Praise God. And being able to proclaim this message. And no doubt, the ripple effect from Paul and Silas and their preaching was something that went on. Because those women would begin to tell others. Those devout Greeks would be able to share with others. And know this is powerful. This is real. This is the hand of God. This is the blessing that the Lord has put forth. Praise God. And thank the Lord that what we call the Great Commission is our privilege and our responsibility to be able to share what the Word of God says. And again, it's not something, not something that is a hardship, not something that is impossible, not something that's difficult to comprehend. It's very simple, very straightforward, very easy to understand, and very easy to teach and to share. Praise God. And how it changes lives is beautiful. Amen. And thank the Lord for the blessings that he's able to bring into our lives. Now, the direction that God can give us, I think is, there are life choices that we trust God for. And we pray about purchases. We pray about choices of who to marry and where to work and what school to go to and all of those things. We pray about those things, life choices, and we claim scriptures like in Proverbs chapter 3, delight yourself in the Lord and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Well, I think he'll do that for souls. I think he'll do that for who to witness to. I think he'll do that for the one you want to teach a Bible study to. Praise God. And we pray and we ask God, Lord, direct my path. Lead me to someone who is hungry. Lead me to someone. See, Lydia that Paul and Silas met, the first contact they made in Philippi, the Lord had opened her heart. Is that what it says? Whose heart the Lord opened. There was already a hunger. There was already an openness. There was already a desire to receive. And Paul and Silas being led by the Lord, no, don't go over there. No, don't go there. I want you to go here. And so they went, and here they found a heart that was already opened. Praise God. The Lord can direct your path, and the witness can become strong and direct as the Lord would provide, and his blessing would come forth. Praise God. And thank the Lord, even in the face of opposition, even in the face of these lewd fellows of the baser sort, who would mock and laugh and make fun and argue, any of those kinds of aspects, you can follow the leading of the Lord, right? Into where the harvest is, and expect God, expect him to lead you into the harvest. Praise God, because that's his desire, that's his direction. It's been said there are two things that you will not be able to do in heaven, two things that you cannot do. The first one is sin. Praise God. Nothing that defiles is going to enter there. Amen. You can't sin in heaven. The second one that you cannot do in heaven is witness to a sinner. You will not be able to witness to a sinner in heaven. There are no sinners there. Okay. So of those two, sin and witness, what did the Lord leave you here for? What does the Lord expect of you now? To sin? Because grace abounds and God will forgive? No. Paul says, God forbid. So it's obviously witness. Amen. And praise God. It's a witness of God's power, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just like Paul, who told about his conversion, I can just imagine the devil telling Paul, "Come on, Paul, that happened so many years ago. Don't you have something better to say? Don't you have something better to witness about?" No, Paul would say, "I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, and I heard a voice, and I was not disobedient to that voice." Praise God. And he would go right, even to kings, praise God, he would give that witness and that testimony. And the times that you've been healed, the miracles that you've witnessed, maybe not for yourself, but for others that you've seen, praise God, we can tell what the Lord has done and what he is continuing to do and the blessings that he is bringing forth. Thank God that there's no lack. Amen. I can remember when I left Bible college and went to pastor in Huna, I was very concerned, Lord, am I going to have enough to preach? And, you know, what have I run out? And one of the other Bible school students said, oh, there's so much in that Bible, you'll never run out. And found that to be true. Praise God. And you'll never run out of meeting people who are in need. You'll never run out of people who need your witness. People who need to be uplifted. People who need to be encouraged. People who need to have truth shared with them. Amen. And thank God that God's power would be in our lives to direct us. Amen. You may not have seen a man in a vision saying, come over and help us. But are there people that need your help? Amen. You may not have determined, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to do a mission. May not have heard the Spirit say, no, I don't want you going there. And no explanation, no work, no word, just no. You may not have had that experience. And especially from the standpoint of going overseas or any of those kinds of things. But I guarantee you, every day you encounter people who need your witness. People who are hurting. People who are desperate. And they, you know, kind of like the duck who looks calm on the top, but under the water, her feet are going like mad. And that's the experience that people are having. They're trying to look calm. They're trying to look in control. They're trying to look like everything's good. But underneath, oh my, the turmoil and the trauma and the testing. So your witness, your voice is very important. Praise God. And thank the Lord. There's, you know, your witness is yes, you've received the Holy Ghost like others. Yes, you were baptized like others. Yes, you repented like others. But there's no one exactly like you. There's no one who can tell it exactly like you. Amen. And don't hold it back. Praise God. Let the Lord use you. Let the Lord empower you. Amen. And how the Lord can do that work then and demonstrate his power and his blessing. Was that man from Macedonia who said, come over and help us, a real person? I don't know. If he was a real person, do you think Paul met up with him and baptized him and prayed him through the Holy Ghost? Praise God. Very possible. Very possible. And the Lord can do all things. But oh my, thank the Lord there were those Greeks. Thank the Lord there were those women. And the jailer. And that girl who was delivered. And Lydia and so many others that Luke does not tell us about. But multitudes who each had a story, who each had circumstances that they needed to be delivered from. And praise God, the Lord was there to minister. I'm glad somebody ministered to me. I'm glad somebody told me. Amen. And somebody prayed for me. Praise God. And the church was patient in reaching out to Mitch Glover. Praise God. And helping me. Wondering, I'm sure, what in the world is Mitch doing sitting there crossing himself in a Pentecostal church? I'm trying to combine the two, see? Trying to combine where I, yeah, when I went to church and what I was feeling there. But here's what happened. Here's what happened. I would go to the other church, and every time the doors were open, which was very few, And then I'd come back to the Pentecostal church. And what the Lord helped me with there was a comparison. A comparison between the two. And the Pentecostal church was so powerful and so alive and so friendly and so supportive. And the ceremony, the ritual, just was nothing. It was empty. And it helped me to make a choice. Praise God. So, your outreach, your witness, your testimony, don't get discouraged. Don't get frustrated. Just keep reaching, keep reaching. Keep believing the Lord to do a work through you. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to do that for us right now. Oh, God, thank you for the power of your Spirit. Thank you for the blessing of your hand in our midst, Lord. Thank you for the touch of the Holy Ghost that you brought to us. Oh, God, let your power, let your blessing, let your strength continue to move through your people, through your church, that we can be a light shining in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Oh, God, that you would lead us, that you would help us, that you would empower us to do a work for your name. We thank you for it, Lord, and we praise you for it now in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Brother Wade is doing better. We thank the Lord for that. We want to continue to hold him up in prayer. Brother Steve, Sister Linda said he's doing very, very well. Very thankful that he had the surgery. And his recovery, however, is still ongoing. He's down to one cane now, I think, and walking outside of the facility and just doing great. Praise God. Continue to hold him up in prayer. Brother Farmer, on the other hand, is experiencing a lot of pain in his hip, a lot of pain. But there's exciting things still going on in the churches there, so let's hold him up in prayer. And the Seagraves baby was released from the hospital yesterday, so we wanted to hold her up in prayer, the Seagraves up in prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Cliff. Oh, the family really needs prayer. Pray the Lord will help. Let's stand together. Amen. Brother Mike, come and pray. In Jesus' name, praise God.
In Jesus' name, join with me. Lord, we thank you that no matter what the situation is, we can come to you and give it to you, put it on your shoulders. You're so well able to carry it, and we ask you to loose peace on what Cliff just brought to our attention, to that family, loose peace into their lives, Lord, and I pray you would draw them to you. Do a work and work through Cliff to do that also in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, the continued healing with Brother Wade and Steve and all the other people that are working through injuries and surgeries, and yet you're working through Brother Farmer's pain to continue to bless Kiana, continue to bless Norvik. And we thank you for the anointing that flows through him. And I pray that you just would make a way for that hip surgery to come as soon as possible in Jesus' name. Otherwise, give him relief from that pain. We thank you that you're going to help us to be witnesses, the Spirit of God moving through us, working through us, that we're sensitive to. Continue to be with the Seagraves, Eliza, and the perfect will be accomplished there in Jesus' name.
Oh, God, for your glory, we thank you, Lord. And everybody said in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, God bless you as we wait for our 11 o'clock service and fellowship and shake hands together in Jesus' name.